Hello and welcome to the Deathcast. I'm your host, author, and journalist Ian Tott, and I'd like to thank you for joining me as we prepare to take our third look at the Cult of Matamoros. Before we get going, as always, I have the normal show notes. If you'd like to follow me on social media, just search for the Deathcast or Deathcast Pod. If you'd like to help support the show, there's a couple of ways you can do this. First and foremost, you can go to your favorite podcast app, subscribe to the show, and leave a 5-star review. You can also go to tinyurl.com/dcastpatreon, where for as little as $1.99 a month, you can get access to early ad-free shows as well as exclusive content, just like my first two Patreon members, Channel and Anthony, did, as well as the largest Patreon contributors monthly, Debbie, Betty, and Matt. They all went to tinyurl.com/dcastpatreon. And lastly, since it's the Halloween season, and I know that we have a number of avid readers as well as horror fans out there in the audience, if you are looking for a new read, my friends over at Nightmare Press have a slew of new titles coming out over the next few weeks, and you can find information about all of that at nightmarepress5.wordpress.com. Alright, now that all of that's out of the way, find yourself a nice comfy chair, get yourself a drink, kick back and relax. I've got my coffee, I've got my cigarettes. Let's go into the crypt! When we left off this case last time, it was May of 1987, and Adolfo de Jesus Costanza and his fledgling cult of Mayombe had just committed their first known acts of murder. This was the slaughter of the Calzada drug family based in Mexico City. Now, the following month, in June, things begin to change as one of its members who worked on the Federales is actually promoted and transferred out of Mexico City to the border town of Matamoros. To give you an idea of where Matamoros lies, it's on the U.S.-Mexican border, separated by the Rio Grande River, and on the U.S. side is the town of Brownville, Texas. It is still to this day a hotbed of drug trafficking activity. And then, much as now, there was a whole lot of corruption going on within the local police force, as well as within the city government, as the drug runners back then were able to infiltrate local government institutions fairly easily. The drug trade had not reached the point where it is at now, where you have these massively powerful cartels vying for control of areas with, you know, extreme acts of violence and propaganda taking place throughout the country as they attempt to fight off the government. At this point, the families, as they were called back then, were still fairly low level. So when Salvador Valdal Garcia is getting transferred there, Costanza sees an opportunity to possibly get in with another drug-running family and make some real money. So Salvador leaves for Matamoros with the instructions to find a family that Costanza and the rest of the cult can ingratiate themselves to so that all of them can become rich and powerful. When Garcia arrives in Matamoros, he is under the command of Comandante Guillermo Perez, who was an extremely corrupt individual in the pockets of the various families that were operating on both sides of the border. It doesn't take Salvador long to find a family that is in indeed in need of the protection and guidance that his El Padrino can provide. In mid-July of 1987, Salvador reaches out to Constanza and lets him know that the biggest family operating in Matamoros had lost their leader the previous year and was now being run by a 20-year-old, that there was a lot of confusion, mistakes, and violence happening, and that it was his belief that the cult could take advantage of this situation and get control of this drug family, the Hernandez clan. Compared to many of their contemporaries at this point in time, the Hernandezes were seen as mid-level. However, in Matamoros, at this point, they were the largest organization in operation. The Hernandezes were known as an exceptionally ruthless and violent organization, which by this point in the summer of 1987 had been in operation since the late 1970s. The Hernandez clan was headed prior to January of 1987 by one of four brothers named Saul. In January of 1987, Saul was shot and killed, effectively taking away what many said was the most intelligent and clever of the brothers. Saul was said to be the brains of the entire organization, and that once he was murdered, the business of the Hernandez family quickly started to go downhill, such that individuals within the organization who would never have been considered for any positions of importance due to their lack of ability and intelligence were able to gain positions of authority and intelligence. So Adolfo and his remaining followers head to Matamoros, where they begin making inroads with the Hernandez family, who are very superstitious. The majority of those in the Hernandez clan were from an extremely poor background, and it's thought that because of this, they were much more susceptible to the notion that magic could help them prosper and protect their various shipments from seizure by the authorities. Now, after arriving in Matamoros, and Adolfo did not immediately make contact with the Hernandez family, instead, he set about learning as much as he possibly could about them. This led to the date of July 30th, 1987, when Adolfo Constanza has an encounter with a 22-year-old college student from Matamoros by the name of Sara Maria Aldrete Villarreal, who we're going to refer to as Sara Aldrete throughout the rest of this series. At this point in time, Sara, who at 6'1" tall, was a striking young woman who had been married once for 5 months in 1983 before moving back in with her parents. Sara had started college over on the other side of the border at Brownsville Community College using an address from a friend in order to get student aid so that she could hopefully better her life. Now, according to Sara, on this date, July 30th of 1987, she and her younger sister had been out driving around in their parents' Impala when a car behind them started honking its horn, flashing its lights, and the driver started yelling at her. Sarah, who was used to such attention from men, tried to ignore the car that was behind them, as she really had no desire to get involved in a relationship with anyone at this point in time. Now, she stated that after ignoring this individual, the car that was behind her, which turned out to be a brand new Lincoln Crown Victoria with Florida plates, suddenly cut into the opposite lane, raced past Sarah, at which point the driver cut a quick U-turn and then began driving towards her at a high rate of speed. Sarah and her sister, both terrified, screamed as Sarah hit on the brakes and their Impala came to a halt. The Lincoln cut the wheel sharply so that it was blocking both lanes of traffic, at which point Adolfo Costanza stepped from the passenger's side and demanded to speak with Sarah. Sarah was not in the mood for this, although she found the man attractive and repeatedly refused Adolfo's advances until the traffic around them started to become irate and other drivers started to demand that Sarah simply go off with the man so that they could go about their business, and Sarah ends up relenting. Keep in mind, all of this is coming from Sarah's own recollections of events. We know that Sarah Aldrete has a fairly high opinion of herself. She is one of those individuals with a large ego, as evidenced by the fact that she had at least 6 or 7 boyfriends at any one time during this point in her life. It's unknown exactly what it was about Sarah that Adolfo found so extremely compelling. We do know, as previously discussed, that while he had lovers of both sexes, Adolfo Costanza was primarily homosexual. However, there seems to have been that love at first sight situation going on between he and Sarah. So, once they get off the main road through Matamoros, Sarah has her sister meet up with some friends, and Adolfo began spinning a tale of wealth and power to Sarah, which struck a chord with her, as she was in that position in life, as so often happens at 22 years of age, where she was looking for a change, something better than what she already had going on. And here in this individual, Adolfo, she saw the possibility of this actually occurring. We know that during this initial meeting, Adolfo informed Sarah that he was a lawyer from Miami who was vacationing in Mexico, that his family was originally from Cuba and was extremely wealthy. Not only that, as a lawyer, he had a lot of wealthy clients, most of whom came from Colombia. Sarah, who had grown up in Matamoros, instantly knew that Adolfo was talking about the drug trade, and as we discussed a few moments ago, she was instantly intrigued as she was looking for that something in her life to make her life better, more exciting. And according to Sarah, she told Adolfo that she herself had some friends that did business with various individuals from Colombia. At some point during the conversation, Adolfo makes a pass at Sarah, asking her if she wants to spend some time with him while he is visiting Mexico, as he's only planning on being there for a week or two. We also know that at some point, Sarah noticed a bracelet that Adolfo was wearing that was connected to Miyambi, that when she asked Adolfo about this bracelet, he refused to explain anything, going so far as to become silent when she pressed him on the nature of his religion. And that not long after this, the two of them went to a local bar and had something to eat. According to Sarah, while they were eating, Adolfo introduced her formally to the man that was with them, his driver, who turned out to be Martin. And the two of them very quickly struck up a conversation concerning sports, something that Sarah and Martin both shared. Adolfo seems to have become a trifle angry about this, as Sarah was intentionally ignoring him. What we're going to come to find out is that Sarah and Adolfo are really cut from the exact same cloth. They are individuals who are used to manipulating others to get what they want, and to whom power is everything. Sarah later told police that after conversing with Martin for a period of time, Adolfo became impatient, interjecting himself into their conversation, saying something along the lines of, quote unquote, "Hey, remember me, I'm still here." At which point he asked Sarah if she was still interested in learning about his religion, something he no doubt knew that Sarah would take the bait on. Sarah said that after informing him that she did in fact want to know about his religion, Adolfo informed her that if she met him at the same restaurant the following day for lunch, he would tell her all about it. According to Sarah, when she met Adolfo for lunch the following day, he told her that his name was Adolfo Alejandro, and that he knew the two of them were destined to be much more than just friends, that the two of them would eventually be lovers and would go together forever. Sarah said that Adolfo then propositioned her, saying to her, quote unquote, "You want to go with me?" Not a question so much as a command, and Sarah informed Adolfo that she did not want to go with him, that she, in fact, had a boyfriend and was not looking for anyone. She says that Adolfo then informed her that he was not looking for friendship. Made because of this, Sarah decided to hedge her bets and let Adolfo know that she would think about it. Well, they end up spending the majority of the next 2 weeks together, going jogging, meeting for meals constantly, all the while he's plying her with information about his various religions, specifically Santeria and Mayambe. She would later state, however, that there were key details that Adolfo chose to keep from her at this point in time, specifically the black magic and murder aspects of these religions. Nor did he mention the fact that he was sworn to a dark deity, or that all those who followed him ended up without a soul as he himself was. Sarah said that Adolfo told her that he had to make blood sacrifices daily, something that she found barbaric, and that Adolfo had brushed these concerns of her aside, stating something to the effect of, "You eat chickens and cows, don't you? It's the exact same thing." Adolfo is also said to have told Sarah at some point during their numerous conversations that his religion could give her the thing that she wanted most, a way out. Sarah told police that when she went jogging with Adolfo, he seemed to possess an almost supernatural level of endurance, and that he told her on more than one occasion that he never grew tired, and that it was because of his religion that he was able to continue going without exhaustion. Obviously, this is starting to intrigue Sarah greatly. Sarah Eldrete said that almost every single day when she saw Adolfo over the course of the next 2 weeks, he would again proposition her, asking her to quote-unquote go with him, almost as though they were high school students. And when she would rebuff him and say no, he would smile at her before telling her eventually her no would become a yes. Sarah insists, however, that at this point in time, she and Adolfo were only friends, as she continued seeing other boyfriends of hers during this point in time. Sarah said that during one occasion when she was with Adolfo, he began talking about the spirits of the dead and started telling her that he could use seashells in order to divine someone's future, and that she was intrigued by this, so much so that she asked Adolfo if he would read the shells for her. Now, according to Sarah, he refused, and this happened a number of times. Each time he would tell her that she was not yet ready for him to read her future. It's more likely than not that Adolfo was refusing, as much like himself, Sarah was an enigma of a person. Very hard to get a bead on what they wanted, who they were, and Adolfo was undoubtedly using this time with her in order to try and get a better understanding of Sarah, so that when he at last broke down and read her future, he would be able to tell her things that she wanted to hear, thus ensuring that she would feel indebted to him and become a part of his life. We know from statements that Sarah gave the police, she knew that Adolfo was attempting to manipulate her throughout all of this, just as she herself was attempting to manipulate him. However, she tells a story which kind of shows how much more masterful Adolfo was at manipulating people than Sarah was. She said at one point she was out with her main boyfriend, a man by the name of Gilberto, who was a low-level drug dealer. They happened to come upon Adolfo and Martin, and Adolfo was strangely silent, refusing to shake the man's hand, etc. The following day, Constanza arrives at Sarah's home, and they go jogging together. And according to Sarah, he demands that she break up with Gilbert, and when she refuses, he again repeats this request, telling her that Gilbert is a drug dealer, but more than that, he is demanding that he break up with her, and she will listen. When Sarah protests further, Adolfo lies and informs her that he is in fact a cop who is working undercover in Matamoros, and that he is only giving Sarah this information because he trusts her. Now, a few days after this, Sarah said that her boyfriend approached her and informed her that he had received a phone call the following day from someone that refused to identify themselves, and that this individual had informed him that Sarah was going out with another man. Sarah tells Gilbert that this is in fact not the case, however, he refuses to believe her, and Sarah ends up breaking up with Gilbert. The following day, she's depressed when Adolfo shows up at her home to go jogging with her, and they walk into Brownsville. Well, Adolfo surprises Sarah by asking if she wants to talk about her breakup with her boyfriend. Obviously, Adolfo had orchestrated the phone call that precipitated Gilbert contacting her, but Sarah, being 22 and distraught, does not put two and two together. According to Sarah, it's during this conversation with Adolfo that he reveals to her that he has in fact read the cards for her. Now, Sarah said that she was stunned by this revelation, and that at this point, Adolfo informed her that they would go back to his apartment because she was ready. He would read the cards for her face to face. Sarah said that she'd always been reluctant to go back to Costanza's apartment with him. However, that on this occasion, she was so intrigued by what she might learn that she agreed. She also said that Constanza surprised her as they were driving back to his apartment by telling Sarah that she didn't have to worry. He had no intentions of trying anything untoward with her, not only because that was not the type of person that he was, but also because Martin was there, whom Constanza had taken to calling her little chaperone. Sarah said that along the way to the house, she unconsciously began holding Adolfo's hand, and that this was really the shift from their relationship in her mind as friends into something much deeper. At the apartment, Constanza began to read Sarah's future for her. Sarah said after looking at the cards, having her touch them, and removing three of the cards, he then said, quote, you're going to get some money from your school for the next semester. You're going to get a call from someone you haven't seen in many years, an old friend, and another old friend, someone you once dated, is going to come to you with a problem, but that won't happen for a few weeks. Then he said something that completely shocked Sarah. He told her that he knew she had been married for 5 months in 1983 and that the man had hit her, so she left. She said then that Constanza began detailing aspects from her life that no one outside of her close circle of friends and her family knew anything about, and that this, more than anything else, proved to her that Constanza was not one of the charlatans who like to go around reading people's fortunes in an effort to swindle them out of money, but was in fact the real deal. Sarah said that Adolfo told her during this card reading that there was nothing that he could not divine from the cards when it came to her. She also said that a few days after this card reading, his predictions began to come true. First, with the school in Brownsville contacting Sarah and informing her that she had been accepted for the following year and that she would be getting financial aid to cover her tuition. Sarah later said that this letter really took the air from her lungs. As she had not applied for this scholarship, the school had undertaken applying for it on her behalf, as Sarah was one of the top students in the school and they saw great potential in her. Not long after this, a former boyfriend contacted Sarah out of the blue. They had not seen one another since they were in high school, after which point the man had moved away, and he informed Sarah that he was going to be in Matamoros for a few days, that he wanted to see her if it was at all possible. Sarah said that she interrupted the man's phone call without giving a response because she felt an overwhelming desire to contact Adolfo and tell him that the things he had told her were in fact coming true. She said that Adolfo laughed on the phone and said, "Of course they came true, you doubted my power," or something to that effect. It's at this point that Costanza asks Sarah if she will be his yet again. And she stated in many interviews since then that this time when he asked her, because the things he had told her had come true, she said yes without hesitation. And this utterance of the word yes by Sarah Aldrete was going to have far-reaching consequences on the cult, on life in Matamoros, as well as in events that were going to take place moving forward, although neither she nor Adolfo knew it at that point. And it's at this point that Costanza tells Sarah a very sanitized version of who Adolfo Costanza actually was. She stated that he told her that he was a witch who performed spells for people, earning much more than either a lawyer or a member of the Frateralis ever could, that he would turn people's bad luck into good luck for them, and that he was becoming quite famous because of this. Their relationship progressed in this manner, with Sarah becoming further and further entwined with the life of Adolfo Costanza. A shrine was erected in her home with the statues of all of the various saints. She began making sacrifices at his direction, while during the day they would spend as much time as possible together, although Sarah stated that while he would kiss her goodnight before leaving, he would never attempt to make a move on her. While you may be wondering why Adolfo targeted Sarah Aldrete, the truth of the matter is that he had had help in pinpointing her. Specifically, his follower Salvador, who worked on the Matamoros Police Department, had looked into the Hernandez family fairly extensively and learned of the existence of Sarah Aldrete. Salvador was able to learn about Sarah's life, the marriage she had had, how she had been abused by her husband, all of which he passed on to Adolfo. He also passed on to Costanza the information that Sarah had been in a relationship with the current head of the Hernandez family, a man by the name of Elio Hernandez. And with this information, Costanza had set out intentionally to meet Sarah, and when he had made his predictions to Sarah, it had all been based upon information that Salvador had fed to him. The last prediction he had made to her, that an old friend would come back into her life with a problem, came from the fact that through Salvador, Adolfo learned that Elio Hernandez still had feelings for Sarah Aldrete, and that he was in dire straits due to his older brother's death and mismanagement of the family's drug business. So, Constanza was hedging his bets that eventually Sarah would lead him to the Hernandez family, who would in turn turn to Adolfo for guidance and protection. A lot of this information that Constanza was able to get from Salvador came from late-night meetings that they had at one of the local dive bars, where they would meet in secret, and Salvador would tell El Padrino the information that he had learned. We know from Sarah's own accounts that very quickly she found herself obsessed with Adolfo, and just as quickly he dropped the charade of the Christian aspects of Paolo and began indoctrinating her into the darker aspects of Miambi. Adolfo began to outline to Sarah what his goals were, how he wanted to infiltrate the drug trade on the border, and how, through her connections to the Hernandez family, he saw an opportunity for this to happen. Sarah said that he would tell her of these plans almost on a nightly basis after they had done their daily ritual, and that it was during these nightly talks, when the others had left, that he revealed himself to her and informed her that she was not going to be like any of the other followers of the cult. She was going to be his equal, the only one inside of the cult who would have as much power and sway as he himself did, as Sarah Aldrete was going to become La Madrina, the godmother to his godfather. People who knew Sarah Aldrete noticed subtle changes to her personality. She would never explain to anyone who Adolfo Constanza really was, simply saying that he was a friend of hers. Nor would she explain a necklace that he had given her of red beads, and why some days the red beads seemed to be darker in color than on others. And it was also noted that she began to talk on occasion about the religion of Santeria and how the media got everything involved with it wrong. One of the teachers that Sarah had at the Brownsville Community College would later, after everything came out, talk about how one of the units they had done had concerned Afro-Caribbean religions as well as magic, and how he had thought it odd that Sarah remained mute during the entire discussion of this topic, as she was one of the few students that he had that would ask questions on a given topic. He stated, quote, "She never gave an inkling that she had any special interest or knowledge of the occult. Obviously, she was concealing things, but we had no way of knowing." Just as she would not get involved in the discussion in class concerning the Afro-Caribbean religions, so too did Sarah eventually start spinning yarns concerning Adolfo Constanza, telling friends who were pestering her to know about this dark-haired stranger that he was in fact her boyfriend and that Constanza was obsessed with her. From all of this, we get two contrasting stories concerning Adolfo and Sarah. Her story, that he was absolutely obsessed with her, would call her constantly at her part-time job as an office clerk to the point that she was unable to get any work done, and her bosses began to get angry with her. On the other hand, we have recollections of friends who state that Sarah would do whatever it was that Adolfo demanded of her without question. Those within the cult state that Sarah was the one who became obsessive, writing love letters to Constanza in which she would express a desire for him to lie with her and to control and dominate her life. I firmly believe that the truth is probably somewhere in between. Constanza saw Sarah as a means to an end, and he pursued her as such. Even after he had gotten what he wanted from her, which was an in with the Hernandez family, and that Sarah, for her part, not used to this type of attention from an individual who was so controlling and aloof, again, much as she herself was, pursued him with as much fervent disregard for her real life as he had her. The people she went to school with, though, paint another picture of Sarah, stating that there was never any signs of obsession present to them from either side of the equation, describing Sarah simply as an excellent student who was hardworking, fastidious, and beyond gracious to those who were in her life. By October of 1987, Constanza, although never having formally consummated his relationship with Sarah, began introducing her to the various individuals that they encountered, mostly drug traffickers, as his wife. We know that she pretty much all but abandoned her role in school, instead focusing the majority of her time with Constanza or concerning herself with things that mattered to him. Even though Constanza rarely, if ever, showed any form of concern or interest in the things that mattered to Sarah Aldrete. This is one of those skills that many cult leaders seem to employ, this indifference to the well-being of their followers once they have complete control of them. That's not to say that Constanza did not take care of Sarah. He often gave her money, took her shopping for clothing and jewelry, as well as bought her a car. But her real needs, the ones that were inside of her that she was desperate for him to feed, Constanza was indifferent towards, just as he was indifferent towards her interests. We know that eventually Constanza is going to sleep with Sarah, although she would later say that it was not anywhere close to what she dreamed it would be. It was simply mechanical and quick, over before it had really begun, and that she would be left feeling empty inside. Sarah said it was because of this inability to be intimate with others that Constanza would spend lavishly on herself and on the others within the cult, going so far as to pay for an addition on the Aldrete's home so that Sarah could live with her parents, yet still have her own private area away from them where she could come and go as she pleased and practice her religion. Eventually, Sarah is to learn that Adolfo is gay after questioning Martin, who had become the person she was closest to inside of the cult, about his girlfriend. Constanza decides to admit to her that he takes lovers from both sides, but that she will be his only female that he will sleep with. He said later that she felt betrayed by this, but that Constanza told her that they were not through and that they would never be through, and that she knew deep down inside that he was correct on this, but that she also felt that she would be able to win out in the end, that she would be able to tame Constanza and bend him to her will and make him her husband and her the only lover that he would ever need. So you can see the psychological games that Constanza is playing on Sarah Eldrete, but also the games that she is trying to play on Constanza. However, he is much better at these games than she was, unfortunately, as if she had won out, we might have a much, much different story instead of the horror that we are going to be left with when all is said and done. Not too terribly long after this, we don't have specific dates, unfortunately, Sarah was left alone in Matamoros while Constanza returned to Mexico City, something that he did almost on a bi-weekly basis. Sarah said that she was feeling despondent at this point because, although she now knew what Adolfo was, and she was trying harder than ever to win his heart, leaving love notes, etc., etc., for him, he was still as cold and detached as he ever was. She was out walking around Matamoros getting something to eat when she happened to bump into Elio Hernandez, who, after speaking to her for a few moments, told Sarah that he was in a bad predicament, that business was not as good as it had once been, and that he did not know what to do. Sarah saw this as Constanza had told her she would, as the fruition of his third prophecy. And so Sarah did as she was instructed, telling Elio that she knew a man, a witch, who might be able to help him. Elio was interested in this, despite fears that Sarah had that he might laugh at her. She would later tell authorities, if she had known how things were going to go, that she would never be able to win Adolfo Costanza's heart. She would have used that opportunity then and there to end things with him, and simply fled over the border to continue her studies, never to return to Matamoros so long as Adolfo was still there. Instead, she contacted Constanza, and over the course of the next few months, he remained in Mexico City, talking with Sarah Eldrete on a daily basis via the phone, instructing her on how to prepare Elio Hernandez for his eventual meeting with Adolfo Constanza. She would tell him stories of Adolfo that Adolfo told to her, of his magical prowess and his great ability to protect the interests of others and to change their fortunes. We know that from roughly mid-November until March of 1988, Constanza remained in Mexico City almost entirely, returning only once during Christmas to see Sarah, probably sensing that if he did not return soon, she might wander away from him and all of his time and effort would thus be squandered. We know that Adolfo and Elio were, for a period of time, constantly trying to connect through the telephone until they eventually did, at which point Constanza told Elio that he could not only protect the man and his family, but also change the fortunes of his business. When Elio pressed him to know what the price for this would be, Constanza simply told him that they could discuss the price once Elio had come to Mexico City and met Constanza face to face. We know that in addition to telling Elio all of this, Constanza through his man in the Matamoros Federales had made contacts with the organization that the Hernandez family worked for. For as the Hernandez family were the most powerful drug smugglers in Matamoros, they were not the most powerful drug organization or cartel. That distinction belonged to Juan Garcia Abrego, who headed the Abrego family, which during this point in time could almost be seen to have functioned like the American Mafia. They were middlemen in all aspects of the drug trade, from setting up the drugs coming in, to the distribution, to the various little groups who they employed to move the drugs for them over the border and into Texas. Now, according to Salvador, after the death of Saul Hernandez in January of 1987, the Hernandez brothers suffered a series of major setbacks that severely diminished them in the eyes of the Abrego family. So much so that the Hernandez family began to fear that the Abregos would take contracts out on them and simply have them eliminated due to their incompetence. Armed with this knowledge, Constanza and Salvador sent feelers out into the Abrego organization, letting it be known that Constanza, while a witch, was also highly intelligent, and that he would soon be taking control of the Hernandez family, and that once he assumed control, the Abregos would again have their most powerful smugglers at their disposal to do with as they wished. Now, it's been said that the Abrego family was much more loyal than some of the other cartels that would come to operate in the Matamoros region in the years after this point in time. And because of this loyalty, when they learned of Constanza's plans, they readily agreed to it, provided he could do the things that he promised that he would be able to do. Namely, get the Hernandez brothers back on track with their drug trafficking and helping them to do it smartly so as to avoid the notice of both the Mexican and U.S. federal authorities. Now, all of this is leading us to the third week of March. March 23rd, 1988, specifically. Sara Eldrete travels by train to Mexico City. There she was met by Adolfo and other members of the cult that she had not yet met. Sara later stated that by this point in time, she had realized that she would never win Adolfo's heart, no matter how hard she tried, and she became content with this fact, as she still saw Adolfo as her best option out of the life she had been living in Matamoros, although she did later say that had she really been thinking clearly and not allowed his money to dazzle her, Sara would have instead run for her life into Brownsville and instead focused on her studies, as everyone who knew her said that Sarah had a bright future in front of her had she kept on the straight and narrow. Instead, she finds herself with Adolfo, Omar, and a few of the others driving through Mexico City, informing him that Elio and his wife would be traveling to Mexico City the following day. Constanza drove Sarah to a large mansion on the outskirts of Matamoros, which he had recently purchased. And she would later say, as they pulled up to a house, a number of girls from nearby houses came out speaking to Adolfo, and she was amused by this, as she knew that they had absolutely no chance with him. This was further indicated to these women when Adolfo introduced Sarah to all of them as his wife. Afterwards, Adolfo drove them back into Mexico City, where they visited one of the two apartments that he kept, and it was here that Adolfo brought Sarah into his room of the dead. Sarah is left at this apartment for a period of time with Omar, from whom she learns that Omar is the second in command to Adolfo, although neither of them know that she is actually about to supplant even him in terms of importance within Adolfo's cult. Sarah Drete stated that when Adolfo came back, they talked for a little while, and he explained to her that tonight she was to be initiated officially into their religion, and that she was to become the El Madrina, the godmother, and that with this position came a lot of authority, specifically authority over the others inside of the cult, with the exception of Constanza himself. But it would not just be the everyday members that she would be in charge of. Elio, who was coming down the next day, was also going to be inducted into the cult, and he would answer to her. Sarah said that she was taken aback by this news, as she never believed that Elio Hernandez would take orders from someone as lowly as her. Sarah stated that Adolfo said to her, "The only reward is here, now, in power and magic, not in some Catholic heaven. We take that power in us to be one with the spirits, to make them serve us. That is the meaning of Mayambe. Everyone else, all outsiders or animals, now you must welcome Kareyambe as your guiding spirit. You must let your soul die. You will be one of us." Sarah then said that Adolfo asked her if she was ready, and after a few moments, while she internalized his question and the implications that it possessed to her, she responded that she was indeed ready and had been ready for a very long time. Sarah said that during the course of dinner, the door rang three times. Each time Omar would leave, and she could hear Omar and others going to the room of the dead, after which he would return. After dinner, Adolfo brought Sarah into a bedroom where a set of white clothing was laid out for her. She was instructed to change into the clothing and wear nothing beneath, at which time he left her. When Sarah returned to the living room a short time later, Omar, dressed all in white as she was the only one present, and he led her into the room of the dead. Sarah said that the indoctrination she underwent inside of Adolfo Constanza's death room was terrifying. Here she was, a 23-year-old young woman, having turned 23 on September 6th, inside of a satanic room being inducted as the second highest person inside of a cult. The stench of death, decay, cigar smoke, and rum, as well as the darkness inside of the room, the ungodly chanting of those present, and the dancing of Constanzo, also dressed in white, flashing a knife, was overwhelming. We know that both a chicken and a goat, something that had not been present in the other's initiations, were sacrificed during Sarah's initiation. This should give you some idea as to the importance that Adolfo Constanza placed in her induction inside of his religion. And although she was terrified throughout the ordeal, Sarah said that she felt an enjoyment in this disturbed world, a near sexual enjoyment that overtook her body at the spilling of the blood. And as she is experiencing this, coated from head to toe in the blood of this goat, her shirt is violently removed from her body, and Adolfo Costanza began to carve his sigil into the flesh of Sarah Aldrete, after which he informed her that her deity was Oshun, who was a powerful goddess within the religion, the goddess of love, money, marriage, and sex. Constanza instructed Sarah to pray to her goddess, after which he simply said, quote, "Now you are La Madrina." Sarah Aldrete said that after this, the blindfold, which she hadn't even realized was placed on her, was removed, and she found herself in a room surrounded by men, some of whom she knew, others that she did not, and that she stood, and upon standing, realized that she was naked from the waist up. And at this point, Omar came forward with a white bathrobe, which he placed on her, not out of modesty, but to keep Sarah from getting cold. Members of the cult said that Adolfo then said to all of those gathered, particularly to Sarah, "They are your family now, Sarah. They took part in your initiation. They witnessed your acceptance by Tata Nikisi. I am their godfather, and now you are their godmother. After me, they will obey you. Nothing in this room can hurt you now. Now you have the power." Sarah said that after all of this was done, after she had bathed, she and Adolfo sat down and discussed his plans for Matamoros. Not only that, she, as befitting her role, was able to offer advice to Adolfo to help him to better carry off the things it was that he wanted all of them to be able to accomplish. Knowing that the next day Elio Hernandez and his wife would be arriving at Constanzo's home to participate in their own initiation into Constanza's Church of Miambe, and that she, Sarah Maria Aldrete, was to be a central figure in all of it. We're going to end the episode at this point. I hope that you guys, my D&Ders, enjoyed this. I apologize for the delay in episodes. There's been things going on here as of late that have been out of my control and have had forced me to change my recording schedule somewhat, but we are now back on track, and I thank you for your patience. All right, until next time, stay morbid.